Well, good morning, everybody. It's so good to get to be here with you today, whether you're joining us online or at South or Buda or Gateway Branson or Central or Pflugerville. We're reaching people in a lot of places around the Austin area and beyond. And I'm just really grateful to get to be here with you and, of course, to be here with those of you who are in the room today. As I was preparing to come and talk to you guys and share some of my story with you today, this verse kept coming up that's played a pretty important role in my life. So I wanted to start by sharing it with you. It's from Matthew 10, verse 39. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Now, I have to be honest with you. When I first heard this verse, probably the first many times that I heard this verse, I didn't quite understand what Jesus was saying here. And honestly, it made me a little bit uncomfortable. It felt like Jesus was kind of challenging me to get out of my comfort zone. And the truth is, I didn't understand exactly what he meant. What does it mean to lose my life for Jesus' sake? And what does it mean to find my life in him? Jesus often encouraged us through his word when he was speaking to go and today is going to be taking you through my journey of discovering what this meant in my own life and how really discovering what this meant has changed the trajectory of my life radically for the better. So, a common theme that you're going to hear throughout my story is being challenged or called or led out of my comfort zone. I like to be comfortable. I'll just confess it right away. Comfortableness is something I treasure. I like comfort. I like being in my comfort zone. Do any of you relate with that? Any of you like your comforts? Well, okay, so let's just start here. If you're not sure if you can relate with me on that, then I want you just to imagine for a second, what happens when your Wi-Fi starts to slow down? Or God forbid goes out, that happened to me recently. or this might hit home a little bit more, what happens when your AC stops working right in the middle of summer? Man, we are on it. We're calling to get our Wi-Fi fixed as soon as possible. We're calling to get our AC fixed because, God forbid, we have to live without it. We like our comfort. It's okay to admit that. We like it. And yet, for me, I think it went beyond just liking comfort to my comfort zone. Living life in my comfort zone was actually my life's goal. It was the thing that I wanted more than anything else, was just to be comfortable. But it seemed like life had other plans for me, because the truth is, everywhere I turned, it was either someone or something that was constantly pulling me out of my comfort zone, trying to get me out of my comfort zone. And I kind of had the mindset of like, if I'm nice and comfortable and cozy, why would anyone want to go and mess that up, right? Well, actually, that's a little bit more of a challenge than what I realized, because there are definitely things that our comfort zone can be a challenge with. The term comfort zone is defined as the level at which one functions with ease and familiarity. I just love that definition, ease and familiarity. That's something I treasure. A positive example of a comfort zone might be our homes. So a home, at its best, can be a place where we feel safe and secure and everything around us is familiar. And our home is also the place where we get to decide what the AC gets set on, which I like. Yet this very same place can also operate as an example of how our comfort zone can be a negative force in our life. At its worst, our comfort zone, our home, can become like a prison. Our home can actually hold us back from engaging with the world around us. We can get stuck there, and it can keep us from branching out and realizing our potential. This actually reminds me of one of my earlier memories. So it was the summer of 1983. And 5-year-old Jamie was dreading September because September meant, you guessed it, school starting. It was like my worst fear. I didn't want to go to school. I'd never been to school, but just the very idea of school was way out of my comfort zone. My mom had started trying to prepare me. I think she was hip to the fact that I was trying to resist going to school and looking for any way to get out of it. And so she told me, you need to learn how to write your name before you start school. So in my mind, I thought, if I didn't learn how to write my name, then I wouldn't have to go to school, so then I just refused to learn. Now, you also need to understand, my maiden name is Jamie Falkenberg. Yes, it's a mouthful. It kind of sounds like a Marvel protagonist. I am very proud of my name. But you have to admit, at 5 years old, just learning how to write for the first time, Jamie Falkenberg can seem like a lot. And that kind of motivated me to say, another reason why I didn't want to learn. My mom knew that going to school was going to open me up to so many opportunities to learn, to grow, to build new relationships. But I didn't know that. All I knew is that my home was my comfort zone, and it was the only place I wanted to be, and I did not want to go to school. I just wanted to be at home with my mom and with my family, where I felt safe and where I felt secure. Now, the truth is, I was scared. I was scared of messing up. I was scared of meeting new people. I was scared of failing. What if they don't like me? What if I don't do it right? And I was scared of being away from my mom. But my mom is a compassionate and empathetic person. And so I can just imagine how hard it was for my mom to see my worry, to see my fear, and to still have to make that hard call to make me go to school, even if it wasn't what I wanted to do. Now, I am happy to tell you, I'm grateful that my mom did make that hard call, that she did send me to school, because going to kindergarten was a big deal, and I not only went to kindergarten, but I graduated from kindergarten too. And my education has played a huge role in me becoming who I am today. This story is just one of many stories that I could tell you about the important role that my comfort zone has played in my life. I have a natural pull towards the known, towards the comfortable, towards the understood. And I think that that's human. I think a lot of you probably could relate to that. You gravitate towards what you know. So often, I think I just want to be in my comfort zone and I just want everybody to leave me alone there. But what if you're comfortable with things that aren't good for you? What if you're comfortable with things that are holding you back, that are hurting you, or hurting the people that you love? What I've discovered the hard way, of course, is that my comfort zone can become like a god that I worship above all other things. And when it get stuck in these patterns and addictive behaviors, and it can hold me there and keep me there. And my comfort zone can hold me back from things that are actually good for me. What happens in our lives when our comfort zone becomes more important to us than our health or our finances or our families or our friendships or our church? What happens in our lives when our comfort zone becomes more important to us than trusting and following Jesus? We end up living disordered lives where God and His will take a back seat to our comfort, and our comfort becomes our God. But when our comfort becomes our God, it actually keeps us from the life that God is calling us to live in Jesus. You see, I believe that to truly trust in and follow Jesus, we must be willing to leave our comfort zone. Said another way, following Jesus means being willing to sacrifice our comfort for a greater purpose. Now, I am aware that just by saying some of this, I'm making us uncomfortable right now. So before we go any further, I just want to ask us to stop, and will you pray with me? Because God, we recognize and we know that you know us well, even better than we know ourselves, and that we're drawn to comfort. But we also acknowledge that our comfort can get in the way of us following you. And it can actually lead to some really destructive things in our life. And so we come here today asking for your grace over us as we receive this message. Ask that you would meet with us here, that you would speak to us right where we are, and that you would help us to learn from you, learn from this message, so that you can lead us forward in the lives that you've created us to live. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first season of my life that I'm going to share with you about today, I like to call when my comfort zone became my prison. I grew up right here in Central Texas on a lot of land, so I had a front row seat to the natural world all around me, and I loved animals. I'm an animal person. I don't know if we have any animal people in the room. I love animals and have always been a fan of animals, and I remember just being so fascinated by them. I think they were going to put a picture of little Jamie holding her dog. Yes, I probably love that dog too much. He is probably getting squeezed a little too tight there. But one of the things that stuck out to me about animals, specifically wild animals like deer or birds or rabbits, was how they were scared of me. That really actually made me sad, because in my mind, I thought, don't they know I don't want to hurt them? I want to be their friend. I was like Dr. Doolittle, and they just didn't know how cool it would be to have a relationship with me, to talk to me. But my mom, who's full of wisdom, she explained to me how animals' fear of humans is actually what helps to keep them alive. She told me that animals' fear of humans is what helps to protect them. Now, I didn't necessarily like that, but I understood it. Unfortunately, I had to learn the hard way what it seemed that the animals naturally already knew. Through a series of painful relationships and destructive encounters with people that I thought I could trust, I began to internalize the message that humans are dangerous and they cannot be trusted. Experiencing deception and betrayal and manipulation and abuse and assault, all at the hands of other humans, led me to begin to withdraw. I began to internalize everything, my thoughts, my feelings, my emotions, my opinions, all of it. I still talked and interacted with people around me, but the Jamie I presented on the outside was very different than the Jamie that I was on the inside. I detached from the world around me, and this was meant to protect me. I imagine that maybe some of you can relate with that. You see, just like the wild animals, I too had developed a fear of humans that had been reinforced by these negative and damaging and painful encounters. So my relational comfort zone became withdrawal and isolation. That became my comfort zone. And I started to become shallow, and so did my relationships. And I started to just more and more just remove myself. I thought that this would prevent people from having the opportunity to hurt me again or to reject me. And to a certain degree, it worked. To a certain degree, it created protection between me and other people. However, over time, living this way, withdrawn and isolated in my comfort zone, became really lonely. I wanted so badly not to need other people, not to care about them. But the truth is that I had this ache that was growing inside of me. It was an ache to be known. It was an ache for relational connection that was deeper than the shallow relationships that I had. As a human, I had relational needs, and living this way in my relational comfort zone, withdrawn and isolated, was preventing me from getting those needs met. My relational comfort zone had become a prison. Sure, it was keeping the bad out, but it was also keeping the good out too. When we let our comfort zone rule our lives, it becomes our prison. The only person I was trusting was myself, and even that trust was misplaced because I was increasingly making a bigger and bigger mess of my life. And at my darkest point, I'd messed things up so badly. Horrible things had been done to me, and I had done horrible things to other people, including myself. And I believed that if there was a God, there was no way that he could forgive me for what I'd done. I was lost. I had all of these secrets. I felt hopeless and alone. Because at this point, I'd isolated myself so much that I didn't feel like I could tell anybody what I was going through and where I was at. It was in the midst of this dark time that I met my now husband, Corey. We were both lost, both huge messes, both selfish and living our own way, both far from God, perfect for each other, right? That's when I got the news that would change my life forever. I was pregnant. This was not my plan. I didn't want to have kids. I didn't want to get married because all of that was way out of my comfort zone, and it meant connecting with people in a way that I was not comfortable with. Shallow relationships, sure, but a family, a husband, a child, that scared me to death. And yet here I was, about to have my first child. Now, I know that at this point, Corey and I were far from God. We were lost. We were in no way making wise choices with our lives. But that didn't stop God from pursuing us and meeting us right in the middle of our mess. The moment that I laid eyes on my daughter, Caitlin, I just knew that there was nothing that I wouldn't do for her. When I held that little baby girl, it was like she just broke right through all of my barriers, right through my relational comfort zone. I couldn't help but let Caitlin in. And I knew that in that moment, I loved her more than I'd ever loved anyone before. I think they're gonna put a picture of me and little Caitlin up on the screen. There she is. Oh, beautiful girl. I did. I loved her so much, but I was still a huge mess. I was still very lost. And at that point, my goal became one thing: help Caitlin not to turn out like me. However, I knew that my parents were good parents who had tried their best to raise me right, and I had still messed things up horribly and had gotten things horribly wrong. How was I going to do it any better with Caitlin? I had this realization that if there was any hope for Caitlin, it was going to have to come from outside of me. So for the first time in a long time, I talked to God, and I prayed for Caitlin. And it went something like this: God, please don't let Caitlin turn out like me. Please save her. Please help her. Please show me what to do. I was desperate. I'd finally gotten to the point where the pain in my life was louder than my fear of leaving my comfort zone. I didn't want to reach out to God. I didn't want to have to ask somebody outside of myself for help, but I had to admit that if Caitlin had any hope of not turning out like me, it was going to have to come from a power greater than me. So I took a huge step that day, and I prayed and I asked God for help. I want to pause here for a moment to give you the opportunity to reflect on your own life. In what areas of your life is your comfort zone ruling over you? How might staying in your comfort zone be holding you back from growing as a person? How might your comfort zone be holding you back from trusting God and obeying Him? How might your comfort zone be imprisoning you and keeping you stuck in unhealthy patterns? Each of us has to realize that the pain of staying stuck and stagnant in our comfort zone is infinitely worse than the pain of changing and transforming beyond our comfort zone. So I'd like to invite you to take a step out of your comfort zone today by getting honest with yourself, with God, and with another person about the area or areas that your comfort zone maybe have become a prison for you. I don't know who to talk to or who to share with, I want to encourage you to consider coming up for prayer after the service. Our prayer team will be up here ready to listen to you and to pray with you. The next season of my life, I like to call waking up. Ephesians 5:14 says the following call: "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Now, I am not naturally a morning person. Don't like waking up in the morning at all, and I especially do not like it when someone else tries to wake me up. But I have to acknowledge that sometimes being woken up is exactly what I need. Now, after I turned to God in prayer for Caitlin, curious things started to happen. I had just finished cosmetology school and had started working at a hair salon just south of Austin in New Braunfels. I had a friend, Lisa, who worked with me there, and Lisa loved going to church, and she loved to talk about Jesus, and so every time we talked, it was always church this and Jesus that, and I have to be honest, I was amazed. I was like, what is up with this girl who loves church so much, and what is up with how much she loves Jesus? It was kind of amazing to me. Well, of course, Lisa was always inviting me to church, but as you might guess, that was way out of my comfort zone, so my answer was always a gentle no, not this week. I have this going on, I have that going on. But then there was another client at the salon who was also super friendly, and she loved to ask me questions about myself. She would ask about how I was doing, ask about my life, ask about my background, and somehow we always ended up talking about God. And one day she was talking to me about the Bible, and she asked me if I had a Bible, and of course I didn't, so I had to tell her no. And then we finished our conversation, she left, and I went on to my next client, and within the hour, she was back, and she brought me a brand new study Bible and handed it to me. I was like, what is up with this lady? No one had ever done something like that for me. I was, again, amazed. She was so different than the people that I normally encountered. And then I met this other client of the salon, Linda. And Linda, too, was just a really nice lady who loved to ask good questions, loved to have a conversation. And it turns out Linda knew a lot about the Bible. So then we ended up starting having these really great conversations about the Bible. And I was super interested and really curious. And we would have all these conversations. Well, it turns out Linda goes to the same church as Lisa. And so then Linda and Lisa both start inviting me. And of course, they're inviting, and thanks, but I've got this going on, I've got that going on. I had all the excuses in the world. Then one day, Lisa comes to me, and she said, Jamie, Linda is starting a Bible study, and it's for young women. You want to come? Now, I kind of think Linda might have started this Bible study just to get me to go to church, but I haven't been able to prove that. But I decided, you know what, I'm going to take the risk, and I'm going to go. They were studying the first book of the Bible, Genesis, and so I chose to step out of my comfort zone and go. And I didn't know it at the time, but that choice was going to change my life dramatically for the better. So at one of those Bible study meetings, there was a girl who was sharing about her relationship with God and shared about her first encounter with Jesus. And as she did, she shared a couple of verses that are pretty popular verses that I'd heard before. But something different happened in this moment. In this moment, it was like I finally understood what they meant. She said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." At that moment, it was like I woke up, but in a good way. It was like I could see and understand for the first time. I realized something that I never had before, that God wasn't wanting me to get my life all cleaned up to come to him. He knew the mess that I made, and he knew that what had been done was too much for me to handle on my own. It was impossible for me to get out of on my own. So that's why Jesus came to us, and he died for us. He was doing for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. He hadn't come to condemn me. He'd come to save me, to take our old, broken, flawed, sinful lives of death and to give us new life, his life. And the reason, the motivation for why he would do this was his love. His love. In that moment, I believed and received Jesus as my Lord and my Savior, and I have not turned back since then. That day, I realized that losing my life meant turning my old life over to Jesus and being forgiven for my wrongs and being made right with God through him. I also realized that finding my life meant that I could live a new life where Jesus, like him, I became a vessel of God's love and God's grace and God's peace to the world around me. New hope was born in me that day that had nothing to do with how good or not I was, and it had everything to do with how good God is and what he has done for me through Jesus. When we trust and follow Jesus out of our comfort zone of our old life, he restores us and leads us into new life in him. Have you taken the step of faith out of your comfort zone to trust in and follow Jesus? To turn over your old life to him in order to receive new life from him? If you're ready to receive Jesus for the first time, or you'd like to rededicate your life to him, I want to invite you to pray with me right now. Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God who takes away the sins of the world. I admit that I've gone my own way and I've wronged you and others. Please forgive me. Today, I choose to turn to you and to surrender my life and my will to you. Today, I choose to receive your gift of salvation and of new life for me. And today, I choose to follow you as my Savior and my Lord. Please lead me in the way that I should go. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer with me, I want to celebrate that with you and encourage you to think about baptism as your next step. Baptism is a symbol of the decision that you just made. Going under the water represents dying to our old life, and coming out of the water represents living a new life in Jesus with him. If you'd like more information about baptism, I want to encourage you to go to the Connect spot in the lobby and just indicate to them that you're interested in baptism and would like to sign up to be baptized at the end of the month. The last season of my life that I want to share with you guys about today is the season I'm currently in, and I call this season overcoming. I don't think I realized it at the time, but looking back, I think somewhere deep inside of me, I had this expectation that following Jesus meant that my life was going to become somehow much easier, that magically everything would suddenly just start to go my way. But I soon discovered that followers of Jesus have to walk through all the same kind of hardships that everyone else does. Following Jesus didn't make me immune to sickness, to hardship, to pain, to temptation, to fear, you name it. I still had to walk through it. And some of the things that I was suffering were actually because I was following Jesus. Following Jesus has cost me. He tells us that it will, that we should count the cost of following him before we do. That may not be a very popular thing to say, but it's true. Following Jesus cost us our old way of living life on our own terms, in our comfort zone, where we do what we want, when we want it, on our own terms. Following Jesus means surrendering to his will, his ways, It means giving up what we want in order to prioritize the needs of others. It means choosing to love someone even when we don't like them. For me, following Jesus has meant working recovery for the past 18 years, working through the 12 steps every day to keep Jesus and his will at the center of my life so that I don't go back into old character defects, into old patterns, and old addictions. The truth is, today I am not comfortable. Far from it. But I'm okay with that. I accept it. Why? Because following Jesus is a life worth leaving your comfort zone for. By following Jesus and being his disciple and learning from him, our lives continue to be transformed. And through this transformation, our lives begin to reflect Jesus and his love and his grace and his mercy to a world that desperately needs him. It may not get easier, but it does get so much better. Not because everything goes our way or we're comfortable all the time, but because when we surrender our life to Jesus and we let God be God, he leads us into new territory. I never imagined that I would be up here sharing with you guys like this today. This required me to confront my fear and come out of my comfort zone. I never imagined that I would be serving South Campus as the facilities and operations pastor. That's currently stretching me far out of my comfort zone and requiring me to overcome fear of failure and inadequacy. I never imagined that my husband and I would be on the journey of becoming foster parents, but that is what we're currently doing. And we're having to step far out of our comfort zone and overcome fear and a lot of obstacles that have gotten in our way. There's so many things that I have done or that I am doing that I never would have done or even imagined doing if I had stayed stuck in my comfort zone and let it rule over me. The life that I live in Jesus is the life of an overcomer. In Jesus, we face fears, hardships, temptations, and suffering. And through him, we overcome. And we don't do this alone. We do it with Jesus and with each other. This is where my story comes full circle. You remember the message I said I internalized at the beginning, that humans are dangerous and they cannot be trusted? Well, that may be true, but it's not the whole story. One of the greatest gifts of my life is this church and all of you. God's worked through many of you to lead me out of my comfort zone in the best of ways. God's brought so much healing and hope for me and my family here at Gateway Church through relationships with others here. Here at Gateway, all three of my kids, Caitlin, Kyler, and Carson, grew up in their faith and were invested in by wonderful kids and youth volunteers. And in case you're wondering, Caitlin did kind of follow in my footsteps, but in a good way. She now serves on staff at Gateway's Buda campus. She oversees the youth ministry as well as their connections team. The truth is, at Gateway Church, we know that none of us are perfect on our own. But through Jesus, we're being transformed. We are learning how to love and be loved, how to trust and be trustworthy. And we're becoming vessels of God's love and his peace to each other and to the world around us. This is the life that Jesus has invited us all into. And I believe that this is a life that is worth us leaving our comfort zone for. This next song that we're about to sing is an opportunity for God to tend to our hearts, to allow him space to speak to us and work in our hearts. In this song, there's an invitation for him to prune whatever he wants, to uproot the toxic weeds of unhealthy patterns and addictions, and to multiply only what is best for us. So will you pray with me? Because God, we want that to be our prayer today. Because only you can transform the soil of our hearts, and no matter the season. So we just ask you right now to come in, to break up the soil of our hearts, shake us out of our comfort zone, so that we can step out in faith and follow you into the life that you have for us. Amen.